Welcome to the Room Exchange podcast, helping you rent better. In this podcast, we're having conversations with industry leaders in the rental market, along with everyday renters sharing fascinating stories, insights, and tips to help you rent better. Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Room Exchange podcast. I'm Ludwina Dordvik, and today we're having a conversation with Karen Joseph. She's the director at First National Real Estate in Manly, Sydney. Now, we're going to be talking about how to build trust between the tenant and the agent. Now, Karen is incredibly passionate about finding the right fit for her clients and ensuring that her tenants are comfortable in their home and have a good understanding of what makes a good tenancy. We're going to talk about expectations, reporting repairs, emergency maintenance, and booking inspections. It's insightful, so stick around. Now, before we get into it, I'd like to read out a review that we received on Apple Podcasts. This one is from Ash Duff 007, and she writes, "This podcast is a must listen for renters and for those who are interested in real estate. Such an amazing resource, getting expert advice from industry professionals and free of charge. Ludwina is so insightful, charismatic, and knowledgeable." Oh, thank you so much for that, Ash Duff. I really appreciate the encouragement there. We love hearing from our listeners, so please leave a rating and review for the show. You can also email us, admin@theroomexchange.com, with any suggestions or ideas that you might have for future guests. So let's get on with the show. Thank you so much for joining us on the Room Exchange podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ludwina. I'm looking forward to answering some of your questions.
Yeah, we had a very animated pre-interview conversation just before Christmas, and I really loved it because we're both so passionate about this idea of building trust between the tenant and the agent. And I think there's a lot that I want to break down and also demystify in terms of, you know, tenants' understanding or thoughts around who agents are. Because I think there's this bit of a hangover from the past in terms of concepts of traditional renting. The reasons why people rented have changed. And there just sort of seems to be this thing, well, hey, you know, am I going to be able to stay here? Am I going to have to pack up and move? You know, there's all this sort of housing insecurity that's around renting at the moment too. So my goal for today's conversation is to give people a better understanding from an agent's perspective, what you're looking for in terms of your relationship with tenants and how as tenants we can get a better understanding. So before we get going, if you're listening for the first time today, I'm both a landlord and a tenant, so I'm coming from an understanding of both sides of it as well. So Karen, let's get started with, why don't you tell us about your idea of what a good relationship is between a tenant and an agent?
Oh, goodness me. A good relationship, I think it all starts with communication. From the moment you apply for a rental property, I think it's really important for a real estate agent to explain what they can expect from me and what I expect from them as my tenant. My lease sign-ups go for around 40 minutes and it gives people the opportunity just to have a chat, to get to know each other. We're all humans here, but unfortunately, you know, different real estates do things differently. And so a tenant could come to me, you know, I've had examples where a lady said to me, "Well, my last two real estate agents did it like this." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, now you're dealing with me." And I think maybe that's a lot of the problem, is because when people bounce around from rental to rental, they're getting a different experience every time. So what experience you get from me is going to be different that you get from somebody else, unfortunately. And I think that comes down to experience from the real estate agent, how much experience they've had in the industry, what their background is. A lot of the times, you know, unfortunately, age appropriate. If people are young and thrown into the industry, they don't know how to build relationships with tenants. It's very transactional for them.
One of my conversations recently, we brought up this idea that perhaps the rental ledger or the rental part of real estate should be a completely separate arm to real estate in general, say to buying and selling. And I think that that's actually not a bad idea in my mind, because renting today, or the concept of renting and the needs or decisions around why people rent, are very different to what they were before. So, you know, you think traditionally renting was for, you know, young people in their 20s, either just starting out, wanting to get a leg into independent living, perhaps going to university. It was, you know, low-cost housing because they weren't in a place to buy property. But now people are renting for a number of different reasons. So it might be rent vesting. You know, my partner and I have a rental property in Newport, but we'll live further out in Melbourne, out of West, because we want a bigger place. and we both work from home. There's a lot of reasons why we choose to rent as a lifestyle, but I don't think that the rental industry as part of the real estate industry has actually kept up. What are your thoughts on that?
Again, I delve into why that person's applied for this particular property. The rental market's very tight at the moment. And, you know, we had 30 groups through a property on Saturday. And my job, my role as a property manager, real estate agent is first and foremost to help people. And so I may have 20 applications on my desk and I take the time to find out why that person's renting that property because everyone's situation is different. And if there's a standout for me as to why that person needs this property, their circumstances may have changed, mum's got cancer and wants to live by the beach, whatever that particular reason might be, is why I select that tenant. You know, some people are moving just because, oh, I want another bedroom, or we've just decided to have a quick look around and see what's out there. So I like to really dig quite deep as to why that particular scenario, why this apartment suits them and make it a lot more personal.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you think that there should be, or is there becoming sort of an industry standard in terms of agents managing rental properties?
Look, obviously, a lot's changed over the years. Real estate agents are governed by a lot more. It's actually, you know, unless you've sat in the seat of a property manager, it is one of the most challenging jobs. The burnout rate is horrific. It's about 2 years, the longevity of a property manager, because it is an incredibly thankless role. And that's why I'm loving the opportunity to, you know, get a different perspective on what it's like for us. So you can imagine being presented with 20 applications and having to comb through every single one of those and then people wanting to know why they didn't get it. And, you know, you've got 10 properties on a Monday morning and 20 applications on both and everyone wants to know by 5 o'clock. And it's the survival rate of a property manager is very low. You know, myself, 19 years in the industry, I've got longevity and you just learn along the way how to be better at what you do. By your mistakes, majority, I suppose, through empathy, you know, through seeing what people are going through in the rental market when it's this tight, like seeing 30 people queue up for an open home and knowing only one person's going to get it, it's heartbreaking. So, you know, these times are even harder than most. I mean, we have to complete our professional development points every year and to keep our certificates or licenses and as part of our real estate career. But that doesn't mean that they're good at what they do. They're just ticking some boxes and doing a test. If a property manager gets thrown in the deep end at the wrong real estate and the principal of that real estate is focused on sales, which most of them are, the property management's generally the poor cousin and these poor young real estate agents are really just treading water a lot of the time and they've got no experience with empathy. They've never rented before themselves. So how on earth would they know about tenant selection and what drives that person who's applying?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you shared that because I think there's this sort of thought that, well, there's not a whole lot that agents actually do. So, you know, I know, but from, you know, just from the different perspective.
Sure.
When you've just described everything that you've said, and look, I understand what goes into it because I self-manage our rental property. So the amount of time that I go through in terms of, you know, looking at the applications and then interviewing people and then checking their references and things like that, I concur with you. Like there is so much work that goes into managing it. And I think that it sounds, though, that some changes need to happen or maybe some automations or systems or whatever put into place to make that easier or less stressful for you. I have a girlfriend who works, had a pretty big property portfolio of rentals in Sydney, and I stayed with her for a month and I was constantly aware of, you know, the level of work that she had to do. And it's not just in even getting the right tenant in the right property because there's a responsibility to the owner of that property as well that you have to make sure that you get the right tenant, but also too when they're exiting the property and managing all that too.
It's so much more than that as well. I mean, as a good real estate agent, you know, when I take on a new property in a block, I take the time to find out the demographic in that block. If it's full of older people, retirees, I'm not going to put 18-year-olds in the apartment, am I? So it's really important to match the right tenant into the right block. It's not even just the apartment, it's the block and the surround. And again, a good real estate agent will take all of that into consideration. Are there pets in that block? You know, the little old lady downstairs, you know, they want a couple and a single in a two-bedroom unit. That's a lot of comings and goings, you know, because that person, the couple are going to have their friends and then the single person's going to end up getting a boyfriend or a girlfriend and then they're going to be staying the night. So all of a sudden we've now got four people upstairs in a two-bedroom unit with 81-year-old lady downstairs who's quiet as a mouse. So, you know, this is all the things that we need to take into consideration when we're doing tenant selection.
Yeah, no, good point. Okay, so let's move the conversation along now. You've done your interviews, you've chosen the right person for the property, you signed the lease. Now let's talk about the relationship once they're in the property. Because again, you know, from the mindset of a tenant, for me anyway, I find it, I'm always making sure that I create rapport with my agent, that, you know, we have an understanding, she knows what our needs are, as you've just described. But also too, I'm always really grateful for what they do and how they do care for us. And, you know, I communicate with her regularly. Her name's Angela. She's just been amazing. And I think that for me, in my experience, that just comes to me naturally. But I think that's a really important thing to do, is not to sort of think that the agent is kind of like this monster out there who's got complete control over your life. But sometimes it does feel that way, though.
Well, I agree. Like, I've got a lot of friends who rent, and I hear some horror stories, and everyone's always coming for me, you know, for advice. What should I do here? And oh, I feel sick sometimes with some of the stories that they tell me. But, you know, whilst we, you know, we have to take the time to get to know people, our tenants, and, well, it's in our best interest, like you said, find out your reasons for renting and doing that. You know, it's not often that our tenants will take the time to know that I'm a single mum, and that, you know, calling after hours is not acceptable, and that I'm expected to do this. And then, you know, when I haven't returned your call 30 seconds after I received your email, there has to be an understanding on both sides that, firstly, we manage multiple properties, multiple. And, you know, as much as we do our best to get back to everybody, and, you know, I'm sure your tap's dripping and all of those kind of things, it's really important for people to get to know their real estate agent as well, and understand how our job works. So I really do take the time at the lease sign up to explain, you know, once you report maintenance to me, what the process is once you've sent me the email. You know, the tradesman's not sitting outside my office waiting for me to call. They work for other real estates. We have to contact the owner, then we book it in with it. So it's really important for me that there's no confusion. You understand exactly how to report maintenance, what happens in an emergency. And it's just from there, the relationship is just, you know, you're off on the right foot already.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's super important. And then during the tenancy, you know, because the world has changed so much, we now have to get an understanding people are working from home. So when we come to do our routine inspections, we have to be mindful that somebody might be on a meeting. You know, they might have health conditions and not want us in at all, which is fine. So, you know, our job during this pandemic was next level. Like, I'm surprised I survived. It was probably the lowest time in my property management career. It was pretty hectic because people were wanting rent reductions and all sorts of things. So just consider what it's like for the real estate agent as well. I know there's some not great ones out there, but the really good ones, you should, you know, sort of applaud them. And, you know, instead of working against each other, we need to work together. Because without a tenant, we're no good. You know, it's no good for the owner if the property's empty. So we need good quality value tenants to have great relationships with, so they'll stay long term. And they'll also respect the owner's investment property.
Let me ask you this question. It might be a bit, you know, I'm not quite sure how you feel about answering it, but what's some advice that you could give to tenants in terms of maybe unrealistic expectations they might have? I know you just shared some in terms of, you know, phone calls and things like that at regular hours and booking maintenance, but is there any insights that you can actually give to tenants to help them maybe perceive agents better, or to be less defensive, or what is it that I'm trying to say here? I mean, you've got the experience there.
No, that's fair. But again, it does just come back to that initial when you're signing somebody up. Like, if we've asked you not to, so I say to my tenants, please don't ring me with maintenance. We cannot accept any maintenance over the phone. And I explain to them why, because we are out doing routine inspections. We're driving from one to the other. We're out showing properties. Most of our day, we're out. So if we don't respond to your email immediately, that's why. And if you're calling us and we're out showing a property and you're wanting to talk about a dripping tap or whatever the case may be, I'm terribly sorry, but can you imagine 30 people calling me in a day about maintenance? So it's just really important that the real estate agent, you know, explains in detail what we do in our day, because we're often not here. So if we don't respond to your email immediately, it's because we're most likely out of the office trying to keep the ball rolling, trying to inspect properties, show properties. It's a very diverse role that we do. we're not just sitting at our desk. Like I had a tenant ring me, did you get my email? And I went, no, I didn't. Well, I sent it 10 minutes ago. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm not in the office at the moment. So, you know, I'd be happy to have a look when I get back. You know, my tap's dripping, okie doke, not urgent right now. So just to understand what's urgent and what's not as well and, you know, take a breather because, you know, again, I can only speak for myself. I get back to everybody the same day, regardless. I'll just say, you know, thanks for your email. Just letting you know I've emailed the owner. That's it. Takes 2 seconds. But just, yeah, just a little bit of patience. And I think there's that perception of I'm paying rent, so you will fix it. There's a lot of that. So if I ask for it, I'm paying rent and you need to fix it.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that because I, having now been a tenant for, I think it's 7 years, I'm always mindful. How can I word this? For me, I want to be in the place for at least 3 years. Like I want longevity, you know, preferably longer, but, you know, I want to be around for a while because of the amount of work and effort it takes to move.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
And can I just say, I just moved. I haven't moved in 12 years. I've always been very mindful of people moving. I understand how stressful it is. I genuinely do. And moving into a dirty property or not knowing where the removalists can park, and there's all sorts of things. You know, the lift should have been padded. Why wasn't this happened? And again, that all comes with experience about what you can expect, you know, to move. So we have ebooks for all of that. But super stressful. And so we want you to stay. We want you to stay long term and we want that great relationship. But I guess the reality is we also want to repair things. But 90% of the time, it's not the real estate agent that's the problem.
Right. I understand that. But I guess the point that I was coming from and from my perception as being a tenant is that I don't want to rock the boat. Right. So I try to find a balance between what is it that we can fix ourselves? And I know not everybody's handy, but I happen to be married to a very handy man. And so, you know, if something's dripping, he'll fix it. Or, you know, if there's something that can be repaired that's not, doesn't require a licensed professional to repair it, we'll just take care of it ourselves because it's just like, well, we can, so we will. But things that do, like we recently had issues with our evaporative cooling system, it needed a service. So, you know, you got to do the right thing and let the agent know because it's part of the machinations of the house and you don't want it to break because we've been careless in not reporting that, right?
Sure.
And, you know, we had someone here in a week. It was, yeah, that's reasonable time. So things like that, you know, I'll always let the agent know. But other than that, it's like, oh, I don't want to rock the boat because I don't want to come across as like, well, you know, don't want to be one of those tenants where, oh, God, they're annoying, you know, because they're asking for things all the time. So I'm mindful of that because, again, for me, it's about the relationship, but also, you know, obviously I'm paying to live here, so there are expectations there. But I think as I'm talking through this with you, I keep coming back to this concept in my mind that it's like a business relationship for me. So I'm a customer and you're providing a product, right? Yeah, or service, yeah. And so it's like, well, okay, so there are expectations on both sides. Providing the product or the service means that it's got to work and be functional. And, you know, paying for that service, there are certain things that, you know, I can expect.
Sure.
But at the same token, like any business relationship that I have, it's about, as you said earlier, it's about good communication and treating each other fairly. And I think then by doing that, you sort of put into the mind of the agent, it's like, oh, yeah, these are the kind of tenants I want to have around for a long time. And I don't have to worry about them. I know the place will be tenanted for ages. I can kind of just breathe and let them go. And I think for you as an agent, that would be your ideal tenant. And for me as a tenant, you know, as long as the things that do require, you know, is classes urgent or just something needs to be fixed, I don't feel I'm going to get penalized or something or the rent's going to go up because, you know, a few things needed to be fixed that year. So do you see from, you know, from my perspective?
You're my perfect tenant.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking, what can I move you into immediately? But you know what? It actually comes back to the owner. And we go back to the owner. Some owners just don't want to fix things. So when I take on a new property, it's the same as signing a lease with a new tenant.
Mm.
I explain to the owner, expect repairs.
Yeah.
You need to have a budget for repairs. Things break and you need to keep the property in a reasonable state of repair. The legislation clearly states that. If you can't afford to do that, you shouldn't have a rental property. So it actually does come back to the owner. And everyone's different. So some of my owners are amazing. Don't call me, just fix it, do whatever. Other owners, oh my God, I lose the will to live. Just trying to get a single repair out. So that's what tenants have to take into consideration, the battle that we're waging behind the scenes to meet everybody's expectations. And the biggest thing I will state now is that you haven't moved into a brand new property and it's not going to be brand new. So you have to take into consideration the age of the property and the state it was when you inspected the property. So there's a thing, it's called as inspected. So please don't move in and then start asking for renovations. Ideally, there shouldn't be any repairs when you move in. We have a 3-day rule in between where you would never move one tenant in on top of the other because we want to make sure the property's ready to go. But sometimes things, you know, we're not using the dishwasher in its entirety. Like we can't test things on a full cycle in the short space of time we're there. So, you know, sometimes those things happen and we need to get them repaired. But I hate to say it, but, you know, most of the time it's the owner.
I'm really glad you brought that up because I have never considered that as part of being a good rental agent, that you would also put the same level of scrutiny onto the owner of the property as you would the tenant. And that's actually really important as I think about it, because like I know with our rental property, like there's a couple of grand a year we expect that, you know, something the oven might need to get fixed or replaced, or, you know, we've got to get the plumbing and the gas checked every year. And, you know, apart from insurances and things like that, things do happen in a house. It just happens. And
some owners do make me laugh. Well, they obviously weren't using it properly. They're obviously being heavy-handed. They're not taking care of the property. That's what I get all the time. So I just take a nice deep breath and I smile and wave and I explain to them, you know, or perhaps it was just at that age where it was due to break.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always that. And so they go, oh, okay, well, you just get it fixed then. But it's often not that simple. Then, you know, they want to go down the road of getting a couple of quotes, you know, to get a light globe fixed. And it's like, it is exactly the same as signing up a new tenancy with me as signing up a new landlord. It's super important for them to understand why we do what we do. We're very heavily legislated. So badly. So, you know, we don't do things because we want to do them. We have to do that. We have to tick that box. We have to do it that way. Otherwise, it comes back to bite us. So a lot of the stuff that we say no to, or, you know, tenants don't understand, they don't understand that that is legislated. That's not us being difficult. We just can't do it.
Okay. I think this is a good segue to move on into the next and probably the last point I want to talk about, and that's the property inspections. Now, again, I think you're probably going to say I'm your dream tenant here as well. It's like I've spent the last week, you know, I've got the gardener booked, I got the house cleaner booked, you know, got deep clean done yesterday.
Can you check my website and just look at my available properties, please?
Well, if you ever move to Sydney, I'll definitely be up there. I mean, you guys at First National Real Estate are amazing. I've actually interviewed Ray Ellis, he was the first guest on the podcast, and Ray's actually just referred me someone for a girlfriend of mine who's buying and selling in Clovelly. Yes, so I'm going to give you guys a massive plug. So not just for buying and selling, but also with your rental philosophies, I think you guys are real forerunners here. But anyway, let's get on to the inspection. So, you know, again, in my mind, this is the first time that they've looked at the property. And apart from, you know, hanging things on the wall, I'm an artist, so I have lots of art. Some are on rental hooks and some are had to require a nail. And, you know, I mean, apart from that and doing some things in the garden, because the garden was bare, but I'm sure they'll be happy with that. We do the right thing with our properties. We know how to actually be good tenants, and we've got rugs everywhere so the carpets don't get damaged. And
you're applying common sense, and we all know the thing about common sense is it's not very common. Again, it all comes back to that when they're signing the tenancy agreement. I just noted that you've put rugs down on the floor and you've hung some artwork and things. The legislation now allows for minor repairs, so the owner can't unreasonably say no to those little bits and pieces, hanging pictures and things like that. I say to my owners, if you let tenants hang things on the wall, they're going to stay longer. We want them to make it homely. This is your home. That's my philosophy. This is now your home, and we want you to feel welcome here. But at the end of the day, you still must take care. And common sense would prevail that if it's a timber floor and you've got a dining room table or something, put some felt underneath. So we put that in our additional terms and conditions, and we point that out because not everybody thinks the way we do. So we have to think for them. And, you know, how that works is then the property comes back neat and tidy. It's in a good state of repair because we've thought of all the stuff that may happen may happen in that particular property. But question in regards to your routine inspections, I love that you've organised a house cleaner. My goodness me, I could write a book on some of the things that I have seen at routine inspections. And I think, well, maybe they forgot that I was coming. And so then I see my notice stuck to the fridge and I realise that, nope, they knew.
And for me, it's like, you know, it gives me an opportunity to do this kind of real deep clean of the house. So I don't mind it so much. It's kind of a bit of a motivator. Well, you know, the inspection's coming up. You know, make sure the house is prepared and ready, but I probably overcook it. What are the expectations of an agent? Like when you come and you look at the house, obviously people live in it.
Yes. It doesn't need to look like a display home.
Okay. Well, mine probably looks like a display home.
Okay. Again, apply for a property quickly. You know, every apartment's different. So I'll know going in there whether they've got children, whether there's a pet. It needs to be in a reasonable state of cleanliness. In the legislation, they throw the word reasonable around a lot and it drives me bananas because what I think is reasonable and what somebody else thinks is reasonable is actually two different things. I don't want to see mold. The bathroom's got to be scrubbed clean. I'd prefer not to see dishes and things in the sink, but I do understand that I try to think of what was going on for that poor person before they left for work that morning. Maybe something happened and they had to run off and leave dishes in the sink and it's not ideal. And a lot of times I'll get, oh my God, Karen, I ran out the door this morning. I know you're coming today. I've left some stuff in the sink. Bless you. That's really kind, but they're just dishes. So what I'm looking for, the majority of what I'm looking for is, are you taking care of the property? Cleanliness is a sliding scale. You know, it has to be reasonably clean, but, you know, I'm more looking for damage. I'm looking for bubbling paint on the wall that you might not be trained to know that there's probably some water damage on the other side if the bathroom's there, or there's some flaking paint on the ceiling. What's causing that flaking paint? Or, geez, the carpet's looking tight. I have to let the owner know that next time this property comes vacant, we probably should look at some carpet. I'll arrange some quotes on the owner's behalf. So for me, it's a bigger picture. I'm inspecting an investment to, you know, give the owner an idea of what they can expect cost-wise moving forward in case the tenant vacates. I just want a reasonable state of cleanliness.
Okay, yeah.
So don't panic.
Oh, look, I've always, it's funny, I always get this sort of thing from our message from our real estate agents over the years. It's like, oh, it was a 10 out of 10 inspection. I've never seen anything so delightful. Yeah, I do overcook it. But, you know, I think when a landlord and a tenant, I don't know if that gives you a different perspective or not, but.
I suspect it does. Yeah. Absolutely. Because you know what to expect from your tenants from your rental property. But for me, it's a bigger picture. A routine inspection is so much more than inspecting the tenant's cleanliness. Because, you know, again, not everybody has the same standards. So if we walk in there and that shower's pretty bad and it's full of mold, so what we look at is that going to cause long-term problems for the property? So when that tenant moves out, if they don't clean that now, they're going to be liable for that when they go. That's how I look at things. If your bed's not made and there's a couple of, you know, some dirty shorts and things on the floor, you know, oh well, it's not causing damage to the property. So that's really what you need to focus on, reasonable state of cleanliness and damage. You know, I could walk in and there's a big red wine stain on the carpet. That would have been a good heads up.
So just one last point, and just I won't spend too much time on this. What is considered reasonable wear and tear? And I know you mentioned the word reasonable is kind of, you know.
Well, you have to go to the Department of Fair Trading website. It's very clearly stated. There's a fact sheet on there now because, you know, in my 19 years, what I think is fair and reasonable, a tenant doesn't. So there's been a lot of changes to the legislation over the years. Gone are the days where my little Italian landlord, the tenant would put a tiny stain in the corner and he would make them replace the whole carpet. You know, that doesn't exist anymore. Or they've put a scratch on the floor, so they've got to pay for the sanding of the whole floor. That's not the case. You're only required to pay for the damaged portion. You know, so generally some compensation and things would apply there. What's wear and tear? Light scuffs on the walls. I say to my tenants, you know, when you're vacating, get some magic erasers, wipe the walls down. Whatever's left over is fair wear and tear. As long as there's no big chunks out of the paint. Traffic marks on carpet, you know, where you're constantly walking up and down the hall in the same spot all the time. That is considered wear and tear. Red wine stains on the carpet definitely are not on any level wear and tear. Light scuffs on timber floors, that kind of thing. You know, something that might have happened in the natural course of living there.
Yeah, not through carelessness.
Yeah, not through having terrible mates over and, you know, having a rock star party. That's not considered wear and tear.
So let me just ask you this then, and then we'll wrap up. Red wine stain, Would you be required to pay for that section of the carpet to be replaced or the entire room?
Well, the legislation's different in every state, but how we do it here is that we would have to get a quote for that room, and then we would have to depreciate the carpet for every year that it's been down by 10%, I believe it is, and then the tenant would be required to pay for that damaged portion. So, you know, a couple of hundred dollars depends on how old the carpet is. If the carpet's fully depreciated under the ATO, then you can't really claim anything. Everything in that apartment has a lifespan according to the ATO. And if it is fully depreciated, then it is very difficult to take any money off the tenant.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Look, I think we could probably talk for ages on some legislative things, which I think might be another good conversation down the road to have, because I'm sure that, you know, once we start coming out of COVID, whenever that's going to be, you know, I think a whole lot of things are going to shift in the market again. So love to have you back on the show in the future. You've been incredibly insightful.
We absolutely love our tenants. I have got some fantastic tenants. And if you were to go onto my website, the majority of my Google reviews are from absolutely brilliant tenants that I've had that have turned into landlords. So don't fear your agent. We're just humans. We're all doing that. We're all doing life the same. It's not an easy job, but, you know, just ask for help if you need it. And my motto is everything's in the delivery, isn't it? And how you deliver the message is how it's received.
Absolutely. A little bit of love goes a long way, right?
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
You know, I think right now, if we can just give each other grace and understanding, I think we'd all be in a much better place because we're all in the same position at the moment.
Absolutely. I just always try to consider if somebody calls and they're a bit angry, what happened before they picked up that phone?
Yeah.
So something's gone on in their life. They probably shouldn't have picked up the phone while you're in that state. I always think, okay, well, you know, maybe something's gone on with them. Not ideal that I'm, you know, getting the tail end of whatever that's happened. But generally in life, I feel that's what's happened. Something's gone on in their day and I'm copping the brunt of it. So take a big deep breath, everybody, and just remember we're all doing the same tough life.
I have a quote around that in my head. It's like, oh, there's a bit of heat here. What's behind the heat? How can I be a gentle sprinkler and just kind of cool it down a little bit?
Oh, I like that, a gentle sprinkle.
Yeah, not kerosene. You don't want to be the kerosene in the conversation.
Absolutely not. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. Look, that's fantastic. I think we've really established well, you know, how to build that trust between the agent and the tenant and being able to get your perspective and your viewpoint on what it's like as an agent and the insurmountable amount of work that you have behind that. I think there definitely needs to be some shifts in terms of processes and managing the rental market, I think, needs to shift with the changes that are happening.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. There's so many things that just don't work. They really don't. And I say to people, you know, I know this isn't ideal, but it's all we've got. So we just have to make it work, you know. The one thing I didn't point on, and I'll end with you very quickly, is at an open house, this is my favourite tip. Everybody says to me, what's the best way to get the rental property when there's 30 people in the queue? Introduce yourself.
That's exactly what Ray said.
Because on a Monday morning, you're no longer a piece of paper, you're a human. I've got 30 pieces of paper. Say hi, introduce yourself, stop for a quick chat, and now I know who you are.
Yeah, top of mind awareness, they call it in marketing.
Yep.
TOMA. There you go. Yeah, gotcha. That's fantastic. We'll end on that note. Karen, thank you very much. So it's Karen Joseph from First National Real Estate. We'll have all your details on the show notes page, but how can people get in touch with you directly that might be listening?
Via our website or my email, kjoseph@firstnationalmanly.com.au.
Fantastic. Thanks, Karen. Bye for now.
Thanks so much for having me.
Pleasure. Bye.
Bye.
I could have talked to Karen for hours. She is so passionate about what she does. It's great to hear good stories from agents who care about their tenants. Now, before we go, I just wanted to share with you that this is actually the final episode for season one. I want to thank you so much for your support. I'll be taking a short break for a few weeks so I can get some more interviews recorded. We do have an exciting lineup of guests coming up, so make sure you do subscribe to the podcast, share it on your social media, and you can also now listen to it on Facebook podcasts. Now, remember, if you're looking for a room to rent or you have a room to rent, head over to theroomexchange.com. It's free to register and create your profile. Thank you for all your support in season one. That's it from me. Bye for now. Thanks for listening. If you're looking for your next rental, head over to The Room Exchange, Australia's first verified house sharing platform. Our profiles make it easy to match you based on personality, values and lifestyle, and you can choose to rent or offset your rent, saving you time and money. To find out more, go to theroomexchange.com. You can connect with us across our social media platforms at The Room Exchange or email admin@theroomexchange.com.